Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Welcome to Lost in the Static. You know, it's been a while since I've done that. And I'm not going to do it right now because my voice is
still
bad enough.
Fuck.
But I haven't done one of those Sunday type voiceovers in quite a while.
Well, because you've had no reason to, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I've had nobody, but I believe they're still using one of my voiceovers that I did down in Evansville.
That'd be interesting.
But you know who I could do a voiceover for?
Jason Oblivion?
No.
AdamandEve.com.
AdamandEve.com. There you go.
Go, boy.
Exactly. If you go to AdamandEve.com, find the toy or DVD or lingerie or whatever adult product you would like, and you go to the end, you put in the promo code STATIC, then you get 50% off of one item, free shipping within the U.S., not one, not two, but three free Spank DVDs, and a mystery gift so mysterious we don't know anything about it. Exactly. And actually, if you do use that and you get the free mystery gift, we'd love to know what it is, because I've heard reports of lube and
deep throat gel,
yeah,
cock enlarging,
yep,
gel,
yep,
cock ring,
yep.
Somebody said that they got a little, it's called like a finger buddy. It's like a little itty bitty tiny little butt plug you put on your finger,
yep,
kind of shit. So it's something. AdamandEve.com. Use the promo code STATIC.
Exactly. And in the interest of disclosure, we get a little cut of whatever you buy.
Right. And in a weird way, this ties into the topic tonight. The whole Mother Jones magazine recently had a really good, I think in the actual magazine, it's six pages. It's four pages if you read it online. Really good article by Mac McClelland. I hope I'm pronouncing the name right. About basically being a wage slave in a warehouse.
Right.
And while this might seem like more of a what the fuck topic, I wanted to talk about this with Scott because he's almost guaranteed to have the opposite viewpoint of me.
Okay.
So that creates good discussion. But basically, Mac worked in a warehouse that I think the way they put it was, we sell everything. They've got, yeah, sex toys and, you know, things for your iPod and, you know, CDs, DVDs, books.
And let's be honest. These warehouses are pretty much nationwide here in the U.S. They're in the middle, in the flyover states for the most part. But they're huge warehouses of just about all kinds of stuff that, if you can imagine like a Best Buy where there would be a store with all the stuff and displays and things like that, this is just a warehouse. And it's for online companies like Adam and Eve, like Amazon.
Amazon's
like
a big one.
Yeah, like Overstock.com or was it O.co these days, or, you know, those kinds of huge online retailers. I believe even Best Buy has a warehouse,
I'm sure,
like this.
Do.
And so, yeah, you can't avoid them. Walmart's got one for their online stuff, and they employ a lot of people, and a lot of people see their demands as unreasonable.
And I do. But see, here's the problem in a lot of communities, and this has to be intentional for how large of a percentage this happens to work out for. This cannot be a coincidence. They set up in distressed communities where this is the only real business. This is the only real job opportunity you have is to work for them, therefore cutting down your chances of finding a better job. They basically have you trapped, in other words.
In a lot of cases, yes, you're,
yes,
right.
Yes, you have to work for them. Otherwise, burger flipping is the only other option if,
right,
you do not work for them. And I think that's a sleazy business tactic right there. Let's set up in a distressed community where the people have no choice but to work for us if they want to work.
Well, another way to look at it, and this is the way a lot of the warehouses look at it, is let's say you're in Detroit, a distressed community, and a business wants to come in and say, look, we're going to give 5,000 of your people jobs where there would be no jobs at all otherwise. And you know, so you give them tax breaks and you give them incentives to come and join your community. At least it's something. At least it is a job versus no job at all.
But it's basically like the article, a wage slave job, because you're constantly faster, 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 and you're always under the thumb of, or there's always this sort of Damocles hanging over you. If you don't go fast enough, there's 16 more people that are willing to take your job in the next hour. We will fire you for the smallest thing, and there's someone waiting for your job. So work, 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 work. And that, I think, is a shitty, shitty way to treat your employees. I mean, the only reason that they work there is because they're under constant threat that their job is always in danger. That's not a way to motivate people in America.
Well, it's an unfortunate way to motivate people, but it certainly does. It gets the job done. It certainly does motivate them. And again, if you're talking about the community of, you know, you can feed your children by working for us or nothing, then at least you're able to keep, you know, keep your kids in school and keep them fed and all of that.
I wish more people would say, you know what, fuck you. I am not a goddamn flesh robot. I am not going to, I mean, because their demands are unreasonable. You get 2 15-minute breaks in a mandatory 10-hour shift with mandatory overtime. Why don't they just call that part of the shift then? You know, if you've got to work 12 hours, if you got to work 10 hours and 2 hours of mandatory overtime, just make it a fucking 12-hour shift. Why call it mandatory overtime then? I don't understand that.
Well, that has to do actually with the U.S. wage laws. If at least with the mandatory overtime, they're paying you overtime.
But I'm just saying that then just make it a 12-hour shift with 2 hours of of pay boost.
Can't do that. That's actually against. It, that has to do with the federal wage deal.
Okay. Well, but then you get 2 15-minute breaks and a half-hour lunch. Now, because of these warehouses, because they sell basically everything, you're not allowed to come in with anything.
Right.
Except the clothes on your back. You can't bring in your car keys, your cell phone, your iPod, anything like that, because they don't know if maybe you pocketed that out of one of the bins you were checking. So your lunch, half of your lunch is taken up standing in line, having to go through metal detectors so they can search you before you're able to go into the break room. So really, you only get a 15-minute lunch because of all the wait time to go from there and then back to the floor.
That part I'm happy to report is actually changing.
Well,
because they're working on it. This is the part of the Obama administration is if they do something like that where there is a check or anything like that, your lunch doesn't start until you
sit down
basically. Or I think it's when you cuz my company is like that a lot with doing inventories and stuff. There we have some,
yeah, I can see that cuz you're in all these different stores.
We're in all these stores and I'm not allowed to bring in anything basically but my pants and my shirt. And it's not uncommon if I'm leaving a store for one of the store employees to give me a pat down. And that's just the way it is. And we always have goals of counting. It's called APH or average pieces per hour. And
are they realistic?
Not always.
That's something I was going to get into later. Not always. The unrealistic numbers.
It depends entirely on the client. And some clients, it's absolutely ridiculously unrealistic, and some clients it's very attainable. But basically my company got into trouble a while back because they would say, okay, come in and you arrive at the store, then you put on all of your equipment, which we wear PCs and scanners, and that can take a good 10 minutes. Once you have everything put on and you're ready to count, then, you know, we do our little briefing, then you clock in, then you get started.
Which I think is bullshit.
And you're right. And they got into trouble for that. And so now it's come in, and before you do anything else, clock in. Then you put on your equipment, then we go through our briefing, then you can go and actually do the counting.
Channel 26 used to do something like that. I don't remember if this was after they fired you or not, but do you remember the mandatory meetings?
Oh, yes.
That would always happen after the six news? You were to clock out. Then there was a mandatory meeting
right. That
would move into your lunch hour. If you missed it, you get written up.
Right.
But it takes up 15 to 20 minutes of your lunch hour. And it's right. Like, that's bullshit.
Yes.
Because if it's mandatory and I have to be here, then I better be gotten goddamn paid for it.
Exactly. And that's actually one thing that is changing. And there's a whole lot of what OSHA, which is basically our safety, health and safety department federally.
For you non-Americans.
Even for you Americans that don't know. OSHA is in charge of your health and safety. And there's a lot of stuff they do that is just utterly silly. And there's a lot of stuff that they do that is not utterly silly. And this is part of it, is that much at least is changing. Walmart recently had a huge class action against them.
Which one? They've had like eight in the last decade. So which right. One are you referring to?
The one that I'm referring to is work off the clock and mandatory meetings off the clock and being told to work through your lunch hour and clock out anyway and stuff like that. I was actually part of that class action. $17 well gained.
but you have the knowledge that you helped fight the man.
That's right. I helped fight him. But so that much at least is changing. And so, yes, I agree. If your company is doing this, it might be time to bring to their attention the fact that they just not going to last much longer, because not only Walmart, not only the company that I work for, 26 has gotten into some trouble. You and I are dealing with that right now.
Yes,
for that kind of stuff.
We have attorneys who are dealing with that, but we can't talk about it.
Right, we're not going to. And there have been multiple companies that have gotten in trouble for this stuff. It's an old way of thinking. It's an antiquated way of thinking, and it is changing.
It's part of that anything for a buck, you know.
Yeah.
We need to save money anywhere we can.
Exactly.
And like one of the things about the warehouses is they intentionally understaff. So that way they can motivate you faster, faster, faster to get the same amount of work done with less people. Something else 26 also did.
Exactly. And actually, I have to say, with my company, I'm changing that.
You're saying I can't do this with five people, I need seven or something?
The way that I change that is I've recently become a supervisor. Thank you. And
it's kind of scary.
We staff, for instance, if I get store A and I go in for my pre-inventory visit, then I'm the one that decides how much staff I need. I'm the one that decides, you know, how long it's going to take and everything like that. Recently, we did one store, an eyeglass store, that last year under the old supervisor took 14 man hours and was done in 4 hours. In other words, we had enough staff.
You basically cut the time by two-thirds almost.
And it was done last year in 14 man hours, and the whole inventory took four hours.
Okay.
I added one more person, and trust me, I had to fight tooth and claw to get that one more person. But I said, look, give me one more person at this rating. In other words, we all have speeds that we work at.
Yeah.
I said, give me one more at this speed rating, and I will cut your budget. And they didn't believe me. I said, let me do it in this one store and then I'll never ask again.
And it worked.
And they said, okay. I cut it down to 10 man hours, had the whole inventory done in 2 hours.
See, more people.
Yeah. One more person made that much difference.
But that's the thing with these warehouses. Like I said, you're constantly under threat to be fired. And then it also comes down to, these are dangerous jobs. Forklifts, pallets, falling off ladders, things. The one warehouse that Mac McClellan went undercover in, they actually have incentives if you see somebody that might be getting hurt. And, you know, not for, we don't want, you know, your coworkers to hurt themselves. We don't want them to hurt themselves because then they can sue for workman's comp. You actually get a $500 incentive bonus if you turn in an employee that gets hurt and might try to get workman's comp out of it. That's a pretty sleazy thing to do, too. Turn all your coworkers against one another.
Agreed. We have something similar where if you see an unsafe practice, like somebody leaning way out on a ladder or somebody using, you know, whatever. If you see an unsafe practice and you report it, there is an incentive. There's a cash incentive for that. But that's because, at least with my company, it's because they really don't want you getting hurt. Because
and see, Walmart got sued over that in the 90s, too, over unions. They had cash incentives. If you saw somebody trying to form a union and you went to management, you actually got a bonus for being a union buster.
Right.
They got sued. They got their asses sued over that one in the 90s, too. I don't remember what the outcome was, but the fact that there was a lawsuit says something right there. But then there's also the unsafe practices. In the article, McClellan says, there are numerous shelves that you touch that build up such a static charge that when you touch them, you get shocked. And not like a little, ooh, I mean like a fuck. And it happens every time. Management's fully aware of it. And it would cost a minimum thing to fix, a minimum amount of money to try and fix this. But the fact that it would cost money, it's just easier to let the employees be shocked. That, to me, absolute bullshit.
Again, doing inventories, we've dealt with those shelves.
I have, too, at 26. Remember the feed room? How many fucking times did I get shocked by that goddamn router?
Right. But and here's how we fix that. And gloves. Again, I'm actually really proud of the fact that I showed them this.
You innovator, you.
I did, because we had a huge problem. There's a southern Wisconsin, or no. I forget where I went. I was on the road at the time, but we had to inventory this huge Disney store warehouse.
Okay.
And again, huge shelves, bunches of plushies being thrown in and pulled out. You build up a static charge.
I was
going to
say, that's going to build up static. Yes.
Exactly. What I did was... static. Yeah. What I did for... use it at adamandeve.com.
It just hit me when you said that.
Yeah. What I did was I went out to Radio Shack and I bought these little wristbands and... they're little plastic wristbands
that absorb the shock,
and they snap at the bottom, and then they have this long wire. And you take the wire and you throw it onto the shelf, and it makes you part of the circuit. No more shock. Do you know how much those cost?
A dime.
A little bit more, about a buck a piece. A buck a piece. But for a buck a piece, my guys weren't getting shocked, and actually, my team was one of the most productive because of that reason.
Because you're not constantly going fuck.
Yeah. And I,
dude, the router at 26, I once felt like a superhero. I had an arc going between my finger and that thing from almost an inch away.
Yeah.
It was just, it was like a science experiment. I'm just going like this up and down and you can see this arc. Yep. And it's like Eben, our editor, comes up. He's like, dude, that's just fucking wrong.
Well, that's also because the router at 26 was a piece of crap router.
Well, everything at 26 was a piece of crap.
But nonetheless.
But these warehouses, and then there's the whole, they don't offer benefits.
Nope. Yet well, let's be honest. There aren't very many businesses where, you know, I hate to say it, but when it comes to work in this country in general, it's in such a shithole right now that, number one, most of what you find out there, even if you have a college degree, is part-time work, which means no benefits. Which means no full-time, which means you get shit for credit rating and all kinds of other things.
Well, but I mean like this, okay, you don't get any benefits, yet they're putting you in positions where you're going to need benefits. Like you're constant up and down, up and down, up and down. You're hurt. I mean, these people have record numbers of back problems that are caused by them doing their job. But you don't get any benefits to help you with your back problems as part of the job. Deal with it. Fuck you. Then there are
this is why we have things like, I hesitate to call it Obamacare anymore because it was actually Mitt Romney's idea. So we'll call it Romneycare.
He likes to distance himself from that. But yes,
I know he does. But it was his plan.
Yes, I know.
So anyway, that's why we have things on the federal level going, wait a minute. No, you've got to offer something. And that's still hope for the future. But yeah, this is, we agree so far.
Well, and then there is also the fact of now everyday life, basically, like I said, they want flesh robots. They want human robots. the article has a guy that got fired because he was late one day. You know why he was late?
Why is that?
His wife went into labor and he had to drive her to the hospital. They said, no, we have a no excuse, zero tolerance policy. He got fired. You were late. You didn't show up for work that day. Doesn't matter why. Doesn't matter if you're in the hospital, your wife's having a baby. You were supposed to report to work. Bye-bye. And there are 16 other people waiting to take his job going, me. That is what is wrong with this whole perpetuating culture of setting up in these depressed neighborhoods. I mean, I'm not trying to say a company has to be compassionate, you know, in the esoteric sense. I'm saying the dude had a fucking baby. How is that not covered under some fucking discrimination law or something that they cannot fire him for that?
Well,
how the fuck is that not covered?
Okay. One, it wasn't too unexpected, I'm guessing.
No, she went in early. So it was unexpected when it happened.
So what you do is you call when it happens, as soon as you know, and you set it up under FMLA, the Family Medical Leave Act. It's covered for both moms and dads. And so either what happened was either one, this company violated FMLA, which is a huge, huge no-no, and that will get the FTC involved, or he didn't call in. In which case, they're in the clear.
Maybe it's like, oh my God, my water broke. We're driving to the hospital. You know, calling work's probably not going to be your top priority there. Maybe getting your wife and, you know, new child to the hospital safely is kind of at the top of your mind there.
Agreed.
But, maybe that's just me.
But I'm just telling you, this is where the company stands. Either they violated FMLA, which is entirely possible. It's not unheard of to hear. You know, there have been companies even recently where men went on paternity leave in order to help they came back to no job.
Yeah, which is bullshit. But then there's also to do with the whole lawsuit thing that we were talking about with Walmart and stuff. At this particular business, which the article doesn't name which particular warehouse this is, probably for liability reasons.
Right.
But the employees were all rumbling about all the bad ways they were being treated. And the article writer says, the McClellan says, there are all these things that they can basically prove that the company is violating their rights on. You know why no one will sue? I can't afford to be out of a job while the lawsuit's happening. They're going to fire me. And that's exactly what the companies want. That's the problem. That's exactly what the companies want. You're too scared to sue.
So is this, I
want somebody to stand up like you and I did, Scott, when we sued 26 and said, you know what? Fuck you. I don't care. When I started to sue 26, I still worked there. I didn't care what the consequences were. I was not going to let them get away with this.
Yeah.
And then there needs to be more people that say that say, fuck you.
And it comes down again to our, you know, can I afford to do that? Do I want to do that? Yes. But what about my kids? What about my wife? What about my, you know, or husband or, you know, whoever? What about my family?
But
they still have to eat.
And that would still be covered because, you know why? If they fire you for suing them, that's covered under unemployment. You'd still get unemployment. You'd still be able to survive. But they have, it's so institutionalized that these people are so scared to stand up. And that's exactly what these companies bank on. You're too scared to do anything about them. Or you're too ignorant to know that there's unemployment or that, God forbid, you actually have a case.
And you almost have to hand it to the companies for having that kind of a business sense. I mean,
you get them evil props. Yeah. I'm not saying that because you're looking at me like, well, yeah, that's called good business. That's the look you're giving me.
Well, yeah.
But it's also fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not trying to sound like some commie, you know, evocateur here, but I want hippie. I want people to stand up against these kind of companies and say, you know what? I don't care if you fire me. I am taking your ass to court. I did it, so I'm not one of these people that's going, oh, I want you to do something I wasn't willing to do. And I did it, and I got fired for it.
And again, the only problem with that is that a lot of these people, even on usually unemployment will give you about 60% of the wage that you're making. And if you're making minimum wage and you get about 60% of that, you can't feed a family on that. You can't. You lose your house, you lose your, you know, you lose everything. And it's crappy.
But somebody has to be the one that makes the stand. Otherwise, they keep getting away with this, and they just get bigger and bigger, and you just get more and more shit on.
Okay, let me ask you this. And I know what your answer is, but this is for the listeners to think,
I
too.
Know, yeah, I know what you mean.
Is if we, one, start, you know, if they start standing up and doing that, that's going to increase the cost of product.
I was actually going to get to, I wasn't ignoring that,
I know,
that aspect too.
So are you willing to pay more for product? You'd be amazed at how many Americans go, no.
Except I am. I know you and I had this huge fight recently over you calling me a hippie.
I wouldn't call it a fight, hippie. It was just...
Wow, just wow, was, that was not even subtle, you fucking yuppie.
I mean, I wouldn't call it a fight, you damn commie.
We had an
bastard,
argument.
But we had a discussion.
Discussion?
And... The thing is that that money for that has to come from somewhere. It's either going to come out of the CEO and out of the big pay, the big rich people's pocket.
God forbid that happens.
And, you know, as we've seen with the 99% movement and all that, that ain't going to happen.
26 at Journal. Remember when they had the big culling and they can't? Well, no, this was after you actually. Sorry. And they canned half of the staff. Do you know why the half of the staff was canned?
In order to give the CEOs and stuff
the
bonus.
CEOs got 14% pay raises.
Yep.
Because that makes sense. That's perfectly fiscally responsible there. But no, I would be willing to pay more. I'd be willing to say at Adam and Eve, I'd be willing to pay. I'd say, okay, knock off the free shipping if I know that some employees out there are getting a better rate. Maybe I am a hippie in that regard. But I really do believe this stuff.
You're in the minority.
But you've known me long enough to know that it's not bullshit either, that I really do believe in this weird hippie shit.
I realize that. But, you know, that you can also talk about government subsidies for dairy farms and stuff. Well, if you take away those government subsidies and those government tax breaks, then we get milk that instead of being, what is it, like
$2.69
a gallon or something like that. Instead of that happening, then we end up with milk that's $7 a gallon.
It would not go up to $7. It would go up to maybe $3.50, which is not unreasonable. And I think if the workers were not exploited, yes, the products would go up in price, but there would be another side effect. Wages would go up as well to compensate for that increase in price, so it would still even out.
Yeah, but I don't. Another common argument is, raising the minimum wage, and that to me, it's you can raise the minimum wage all you want, but the problem is that then prices jump up in order to cover that, so it ends up being a wash.
Yeah, you still wind up where you were.
Right, and there's no benefit.
Right. So, how many of you out there? How many of you listeners, and I want emails on this, lostinthestaticshow@gmail.com, or you can post your answer to the Lost in the Static Facebook page. How many of you out there would be willing to pay, say, 10, 12% more for your groceries if you knew that nobody was being a wage slave and being exploited at the production level? How many of you would actually do that? I want honest answers.
Or you have cases like Dawn and I where we kind of live paycheck to paycheck, man. We can't we wouldn't be able to afford paying more. If we had money to back it up and if we had savings, then yes, I would say do it. But you know, then I'm SOL.
And I'm not meaning this as an insult, so please don't take it like that. But the companies and the corporations have you right where they want you. You can't do anything.
That's right.
And that, I think, is a really shitty place. First of all, I don't think we ever should have gotten to that point in this country. But we gave the corporations way too much leeway, and we let their clearly bought politicians skew the laws for them.
Yes.
And that's the problem. People need to start standing up.
And this was, that was the original message of, you know, the Occupy
before
movement.
It got muddled.
Before
and
it got muddled
foggy.
And you know, damn the corporation, now pass the Starbucks. You know, and before it got stupid, that was the original deal, is that we do have this huge gap. Well, let's say that you and I, Lost in the Static, becomes amazingly successful and we start running
a
website. Well, amazingly successful.
Okay.
And we start running a website. Okay. And let's say we bring in talent to other websites, and you know, just as a what if, let's say you and I, as CEO of lostinthestatic.com, we suddenly make 10 or 12 times more than, you know, some other
the contributors,
some other peon that we bring on, you know, just to add to our main page, which is already muddled with hundreds and hundreds of other people for some reason. Just, you know, an example off the top of my head.
We get fucking huge.
We get huge. And you and I are each making $10,000, $12,000 a month.
And we're only giving them $1,000.
And we're only giving them maybe $1,000, maybe $500.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't do that.
I know you wouldn't do that. And that's actually, listeners, here's something rare. Somebody write down this date. That's one thing that I will give you credit on. And I've had people email me and be like, all right, so does Josh just get a cut of the Adam and Eve money? And, you know, you're kind of left dangling in the wind, or, you know, how does this work? The truth is, Josh gets a little bit more because you've got two other shows, and you get a cut from those codes as well.
Right.
What and what's the other one?
Drome.
So you get a cut from What and Drome. But when it comes to just the Static one, we cut it pretty much down the middle.
Pretty much. And I mean, yeah, Scott doesn't get quite as much
because
I got to
figure
out taxes.
Because you take out some for taxes and stuff, which, you know, any regular employer would do.
It is an understandable thing.
Yeah.
Right?
And so, but yeah, well, otherwise we cut it pretty much down the middle, and I'm happy with that.
Initially, Scott actually, and I'm going to out you on this, Scott initially thought that I wasn't going to give him nothing.
I didn't think I was.
When I first gave him the first Adam and Eve,
I was like,
he was like, okay, I didn't think you were. Honestly, frankly, that offended me a little bit as your friend that you thought I'd do that to you.
But then, and what's pretty interesting is you and I have taken about an equal amount of money and thrown it back into the show as well.
Yeah, for like the microphones
we're
currently
using.
Yeah,
because you gave me money for microphones, or you gave me some money for the microphones, you gave me some money for the mixer and stuff like that. So you've always been fair, but let's say we weren't.
Okay, let's say I am evil CEO.
You're right. You and I are evil CEOs, and we're making $10,000-$12,000 a month. Somebody joins us, we might throw them $500, $1,000 a month, and that is the kind of mindset that Occupy and a bunch of other protests are against, and it really goes back to the 1980s. As silly as this sounds, it was Reagan's original idea of trickle-down economics.
Which, by the way, does not work.
Yeah.
In theory, it might.
In theory.
In reality, it do not.
Right. And the idea was, we go to the richest people, and we give them all the tax breaks, and we give them basically free money in various forms. And then what they do is they take that money, and they reinvest it into their company, and they do profit sharing, and they, you know, they are the ones responsible for distributing the wealth.
Because, yeah, that's the way that works.
And it would trickle back down to the peons working in the office. Well, it never did.
That's because the CEOs are greedy. Look what happened when we bailed out, the Detroit auto industry and the banking industry. What did they do? They immediately went on their solid gold jets, flew to Vegas for business reasons.
Yeah, or in the case of the banking, we bailed out a bunch of banks, and the banks went, okay, we're in the clear now. Let's hire a bunch of lawyers and start foreclosing on homes.
Including homes that they didn't even have mortgages on.
Exactly.
Which we saw Bank of America. I mean, you guys must be so happy that you beat that EA beat you guys out for Golden Poo, because I thought Bank of America was a lock this year, Scott. I really did.
So yeah, trickle down didn't work. Doesn't work, won't work,
because of greed. Because people are greedy. Because people go, I should give this to the employees,
right?
But then that's one less solid gold back scratcher I can buy.
That's right.
You know, and that's what it comes down to. That.
And there's something to be said for greed. Greed is the reason why you worked, you know, is the reason why you set the goal of becoming CEO of said company. It's why you worked as hard as you did. And so there's something to be said for it. It's not an innately bad thing, but
just like anything else, greed is okay in moderation.
In moderation.
There gets a certain point where it's not moderated anymore. It's just greed and anything for a dollar. I recently wrote a Sanity is Razor Thin about that, which I got a lot of crap over. One guy posted, there's no honor in being poor. And I'm thinking, yeah, there kind of is, because it's fucking honest. I don't want to get rich and then not be able to look at myself in the mirror. Or maybe I'm the weird exception in that. If I'm poor and I'm true to myself, I know how, you know, self-helpy this sounds, I'm okay with that.
And if
there is honor in being poor, in my opinion.
And I don't know. And there are companies where the CEOs haven't gotten greedy. Google, for instance, you know, if you're a Google employee, you're set. You're set for life. Because you get a bunch of free stuff at Google, including your meals and playtime and stuff like that. You only work 80% of the time on Google stuff, and you work 20% on your own stuff. Microsoft, if you're a Microsoft employee, all the way down to, you know, the janitors that clean their closet, guess what? You're set, and you're not doing badly. And Microsoft had at one point, I realize he's not anymore, but at one point, Bill Gates, the richest man in the world until Branson came along. But at one point, the richest man in the world was in charge of that company, and he was, you know, the employees were still really well taken care of. So it is possible to be a successful company, an amazingly successful company, and not have a greedy CEO.
But look at Walmart. Walmart to me actually edges out Disney for evil corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a big jump, because Disney's a pretty evil corporation in and of itself.
But Disney does take care of their employees, all the way down to the people that sweep the park.
I'd argue with that, because I've known some people that would like played Goofy in the park, and they were treated like shit and paid like absolute ass.
Yeah.
So okay. No, they do not treat their employees very well.
They used to, maybe not anymore.
No, I used to know somebody that played Goofy.
Okay.
And no, he said it you know, that when the Simpsons did the parody of, or sorry, the Roseanne did the parody of it, that was pretty accurate.
Ah, okay.
With the Roseanne episode where David was being brainwashed to being into the corporate bosom. And well, what it comes down to is people, like I said, I can't say this enough. You guys need to stand up. Like I said, I've done it. I'm not asking you out there to do something I was unwilling to do. I stood up against Journal Broadcast Group. I got fired for it. I'm currently still in litigation against them. I stood up to them because I was sick of being pushed around. And that's what more people need to do. Stop being pushed around, and most of all, stop being fucking scared. You should not be scared of your employer. That sickens me when I hear people bitch all the time about their employer, and then they go, but I need this job. That's the thing. I need this job. Then they've got you again, right where they want you. You're just like a bitch in prison.
Again, I mean, this is where we are, which is, yes, I'm scared of my employer, but I'm a little bit more scared of my children and I starving and being homeless
Which really wouldn't happen. And like I said, there's unemployment, there's housing assistance, there's food stamps. You know, yeah, you might go two really rough weeks while the paperwork's being processed. But guess what, people? When you stand up, there are laws that protect you, especially if you've got them by your balls and you fall under a whistleblower law. Then, man, you're set. If you actually have hard evidence against them, when you blow the whistle, whistleblower laws will protect you something fierce. I'm just sick of seeing the working man fucked over in this country. You know, it comes down to that George Carlin joke where people are so fucked over that they're willing to take anything, like a nuclear power plant being open in their yard. People go, well, aren't you afraid of the radiation? Well, I'll take a couple of rads if it means a job. Because we've been shit on so long, that's all we have left to look forward to. That makes me sad as an American, Scott. It really does.
You know what that means?
What?
You agree with the Occupy movement, hippie.
I've always said I agreed with the Occupy movement. I mean, Chris, the first week they did that shit, I talked about it on What the Fuck. I've always agreed to that. So you're saying that like it's some big, deep revelation epiphany you just had. Oh my God, you're an Occupy sympathizer. Always have been.
Hippie.
Okay, explain to them why you think I'm a hippie from that fight you and I had. Discussion.
Well, there you go.
Sorry, discussion.
Discussion. Well, number one, you're unkempt. You're unclean.
I wash regularly. I shower daily.
Okay.
I wash my hair. I brush my teeth. So, I will fight you on the unclean thing. So fuck off.
Okay, do you own clothing?
I wash my clothes, too, regularly.
Do you own clothing without holes in it? Because looking at this T-shirt, it looks like... When did you get that? 1982?
2009. It says Halloween 2009 on it. So yeah, I bought it in 1982.
You never know, but it's got. I'm counting at least 20 holes in it so far. Your jeans may as well be shorts at this point.
I can't stand wearing shorts. I just like the holes in the knees. And yes, I do own full pairs of pants, but I feel fucking weird without having the holes, the knees breathing.
So you've got the whole. Beard going the whole
the beard unkept. Is epic. Fuck you with the beard. The beard is epic.
You've got the long hair.
Always had long. I've had long hair since like 87.
But it's neither here nor there because it was pretty much a joke. Let's see. You're a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Why are you a vegetarian, by the way?
We were going to tackle that in a later episode.
Okay, we'll do that later.
We'll do that later. That's not enough.
Because I'm real curious about that.
I don't know. I don't like the taste of meat.
It's pretty much what it comes down to. But nonetheless, it's just so I and to tell you the truth, most of the time I call you a hippie because it aggravates you.
Because it does. First of all, I'm incredibly materialistic. That goes against the hippie oath right there. I don't believe in free love. Another anti-hippie thing. I wash. Another anti-hippie thing.
Not all hippies are dirty hippies. A vast majority of them, yes, but not all of them.
I wear shoes. Most hippies I've seen are them barefoot-wearing motherfuckers.
It depends.
And I'm not all about the freak-out, man! Oh, my God, man! Oh, and I'm totally 100% anti-drug and anti-alcohol.
Yeah.
Which really is anti-hippie statements right there, too. So fuck you on that whole hippie thing.
I know, but I still love calling you a hippie. Hippie. So what...
Listen, you bald fucking yuppie. All right, continue.
But now, when it comes to these warehouses and when it comes to working with jobs like this, I mean, it really does. It comes down to I can stand up for my rights. And if we get a whole bunch of people to stand up all at once,
class action,
then there's going to be some changes made. It's going to happen
which
in
is
one
what,
way or another.
Which is what I hope the people that listen to this do.
And then, but if you only get one or two people to stand up, then they're easily disposable. And I think that's where... The corporations have them, and that's what kind of what they're banking on is that not everybody's going to stand up for these changes.
But that's where that seed, those couple of people plant the seeds of dissent. That's what needs to be
and
done.
And they're foisted down on their butt right away, and the others see that and go, oh, God, I don't want to be in that position.
Which is pretty much what happened at 26. After I tried to get a couple other people involved in our lawsuit, basically, we're told, you don't want what happened to Josh to happen to you, do
right,
you?
Right.
And that's wrong. They should have said, you know what? Fuck you. You're not going to fucking threaten me. Because I'm sorry. They should not beat you down to the point where you're like I said, you're like a prison bitch. Anything, sir, just don't make it hurt a lot. You know, I'm sick of this mentality of the modern worker that does that. What happened? In the 50s, Scott, the American worker was amazing. And then the corporations just beat you down to the point where you've got nothing left.
You also didn't have wage differences in the millions.
Well, and then you also have, to make this a little bit Wisconsin-centric, look what Scott Walker just did to our fucking state, Scott.
Yeah, I know.
We tackled it on What the Fuck, but for those that you don't know, our lovely Governor Scott Walker has decided to repeal the Fairness in Employment Act.
Yep.
Which now means you have less rights to sue your employer for fucking with you, and you no longer legally have to pay women the same as men for the same job.
That's right.
Yeah, because Scott Walker, that totally helps Wisconsin, doesn't it?
Oh, what else did he do? He basically outlawed, and unions. I realized he basically outlawed unions.
He outlawed protesting.
He has basically outlawed protesting. You no longer have the right to assemble on state property.
Well, you do, but you have to pay for all the police that's required to do it.
Right.
Which and means so, most people can't.
Right. And I think for a protest, I think they said it was something like $32,000 per person that shows.
Yeah. And it's like, you know
which
what?
Which is ridiculous. Listen,
I said this on What the Fuck, but I haven't said this to you. This is what I think Scott Walker's doing, because Scott Walker's being recalled, and there's almost no chance he's
going to
win the
recall. Oh, there is no chance he's going to.
But here's the thing. He seems like one of those motherfuckers that goes, "You don't want me? Well, fuck y'all, I'm doing as much damage as I can before I'm gone."
He's basically outlawed abortion. He has basically made sex ed in this state abstinence only. Yep. You can no longer provide prophylactics to minors.
Yeah, because, you know, God forbid that, you know, prevents abortions.
Exactly. And a bunch of other stuff that
But you tell me, am I wrong in my assertion that he basically looks like he's trying to do as much damage as possible while he's still in office?
Yeah, I don't know if it's as much damage as possible, because I don't really think he sees it as damage. I think he really sees himself as doing some good, but he wants to do as much as humanly possible while he's still in office, and then...
And when his Democratic rival gets into office, which he will... It's going to take them their entire term just to overturn everything he did. Yeah, so they're basically not going to make any kind of progress. They're just going to get us back to zero. And so, yes, fuck you, Scott Walker. Yeah. He's one of those people that's clearly in the pocket of the corporations.
I don't know if he's in the pocket of the corporations or if he's just...
Oh, no, he's made it clear that the Koch brothers are calling
him
shots.
Well, yeah, the Koch brothers. Okay, the Koch brothers, I'll give you that. But I think that really he's also just that megalomaniacal.
He's psychotic, and I've gotten into many a fight with people that are, for whatever reason, Scott Walker backers. I don't understand that.
I don't get it, but yeah.
Yeah, and so what it really comes down to is just people stand up. Stop doing these wage slave jobs where you're treated like shit. Unionize. That's a big thing. These warehouses are like Walmart. They fear unions. Like a hooker fears AIDS, okay? You people unionize.
And let me clarify this. Unions have their place. Don't get me wrong. I have enough issues with unions because I see too many out there making too many demands.
Ridiculous demands.
And basically, there are a lot of unions out there that the reasons the unions exist is so that the union people can make money and...
Off the backs of
the union members. And there are lots and lots of unions out there that make absolutely silly. For instance, GE's union. I don't know if this is still in effect, but one of my girlfriends, her dad was a doctor at a GE plant in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Like the in-house doc?
Or not GE, GM.
Okay.
Like the in-house doc.
I was going to say GE. What the fuck's General Electric?
No,
okay.
GM. And the workers there, it was a half hour break every hour. So you would work for 30 minutes,
and then have 30
sit
minutes.
Down for 30 minutes, work for 30 minutes,
talk about
sit down for
cushy.
30 minutes. You got a 2 hour lunchtime.
Talk about fucking
exactly.
Cushy.
And basically this was all due to a strike, and they GM, this is prior to the bailout and all of that. They just basically bowed to the union and gave them everything they wanted. And these are people making $22 to on the high end, $50 to $60 an hour. Yep. That's ridiculous.
Oh, it absolutely is. It adds
and,
absolutely
and
ridiculous.
And part of what we need to do here is not only do we need to put these corporations in check and have management and stuff doing something at a reasonable rate, putting reasonable goals on people and putting reasonable expectations so that you're not a wage slave and so that fear doesn't control your wound. But we need the workers also and the unions also to be reasonable.
Absolutely. But in places like the warehouses, there are no unions. They won't allow it.
Right.
They're like Walmart. They offer, you know, hey, if you see someone trying to unionize, we'll give you a mm-hmm. bonus mm-hmm. if you turn them in. And that's the thing. You turn everybody against each other, and it becomes this survival of the fittest kind of thing. That's exactly what they want, and that's exactly what we as the working class do not need.
Exactly.
Stabbing each other in the back so we can get a little bit more ahead right now.
Exactly.
That is bullshit, and I am sick of this. I'm sick of letting the corporations run rampant over your rights as a human being. And, you know, that also comes down to the whole illegal immigration thing. These people are doing jobs Americans won't do. Because Americans won't do that job for $1.50 an hour. No. Americans will do that job if you pay them like an American. You know, it
comes... Yeah, that's a different issue altogether. But, trust me. I've been there. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about farm jobs and stuff like that, and that's a different issue altogether.
All right, we'll stick with the warehouses.
Stick with the warehouses.
But and then there's also the moral issues. This article has a segment where one of the big things they deal with is sex toys. What if you have a moral issue of handling dildos and packing dildos?
Then don't work
too,
there.
Too bad. Yeah, but it's basically 99% of the products you're going to be touching are fine. Then all of a sudden you have to work the dildo section that day, but you're morally opposed. Well, there's 16 more people waiting to take your job if you don't want to touch that dildo.
Nah, see, that's actually, I'm going to fall on the side of the corporation for that one. If you have a moral, I'm basically an atheist. I did a fire inventory for a church. I could have gone to my corporation and said, yeah, I'm an atheist. And you're going to make me work in a church and I don't feel comfortable doing it. And they'd find somebody else to do it. They wouldn't fire me.
But in this, they will fire you for it. It's, you know, then not only do you not just do that job that day, bye bye.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, if, you know, I'm almost on the side of the corporation that if you have, you know, some moral, because then, and again, we're going to go right down that slippery slope argument. So you can pretty much throw this out the window. But I'm morally opposed to touching cardboard, and it's all kept in cardboard.
Well, okay, that's also ridiculous.
Yes.
But there are a lot of people that are morally opposed to dick-shaped objects.
Well,
you know.
Good thing they don't work with this show, because look at these microphones.
Well, because there's even a thing in there where McClellan says at lunch one day, the employees would get around and just talk, so what cock-shaped object did you get to pack this week?
You know, and that I can almost fall on the side of the corporation. If you have a moral obligation to doing the job, then they have no obligation to keep you doing the job.
But I don't think they should also force you to do something that you have a moral obligation
against. Well, they're not. There's the door.
Which is forcing you.
No.
We're firing you, or you do something that you're morally against.
No, we're not firing you. You're quitting.
No, to me, that would be you're firing me because you're making me do something.
No, you either do the job we ask you to. It's called a job. We don't do it for free. If you did it for free, it would be a hobby. This is a job. You do what
like
we ask
you.
You do what we ask you to do, or you walk out the door.
I think that's bullshit, and I think that should not be the only option.
When it comes to that, and because I don't know, I have so few moral obligations to myself that maybe I am in the wrong here, but to me, if you're morally opposed to doing the job, then they should have no obligation to hire you to do that job.
What if it's something that comes about after the fact? When you got hired, they didn't handle dildos. Then all of a sudden they bring in dildos and you go, I have a moral obligation. And they go, fuck off, get out.
Fine. That's their right.
See, I disagree with that. We're running out of time though. So lostinthestaticshow@gmail.com. We do want to hear your opinions on this, especially since this is probably a very polarizing topic.
Exactly. And yeah, I don't know where I was going with that one, but I agree. It's I'd love to hear what they have to say on this one.
And also listen to Scott on Another Pagan Podcast and listen to our friend Jason Oblivion's Another Damn Talk Show. What is it? 2 p.m. Central time?
2 p.m. Central time tomorrow afternoon. And yeah, he's a lot of fun. And if you like the sound of my voice, Another Pagan Podcast, just search us up on iTunes, and we talk about all kinds of interesting things.
Interesting is the only word you're going to use?
Interesting, because, yeah, interesting.
All right. Goodbye.
Good night, everybody.